Welcome to Exodus, California. I'm your host, Joanne Kraft, and my husband, Paul, will be your co-host as we share our story about how we left California and made our home in the rolling hills of Tennessee. Exodus, California is a podcast for Californians who've had enough and are getting ready to pull the trigger and make that move out of a state they once loved. Welcome to Exodus, California, moving to Tennessee. I am your host, Joanne Kraft, and I am here with my husband and co-host, Paul Kraft.
Hey, y'all.
Well, today we want to talk to you a little bit about whether or not you should keep your California house. And for a lot of you who think are very much forward thinking when it comes to investments, we completely understand all that's going through your head right now, because we too were investors in California and had to come up with the decision of whether or not we should sell our California home. And today's episode is going to be a wealth of information for you to consider, especially since Paul's going to be handling the lion's share of this with the legal side of things, because that's what you do.
Yeah, for those of you who've been saying we want more Paul on the podcast, this is your opportunity. And for those of you that haven't been saying that and are dreading it, I guess switch over to Dateline or something.
Wait a minute. I sound like a lady from the office. People actually do enjoy hearing you talk. They do. You are the fact man, which is amazing.
Well, probably because they think they're listening to Ray Romano.
That's probably true. Ray Romano. We already know you sound like him. Okay, so Paul, I'll kind of lob you these balls here. Relocating to Tennessee. A lot of people are going to have the option of either borrowing against their house in California and buying something here. Because for a lot of people, when you only know California, you have this mentality, because we had it as well, because people would say this all the time to us. If you sell your house, you're never going to be able to come back.
That's kind of the reason why I'm leaving.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying? They would say that. And as a family, you're scared to sell your kids' home. You're thinking, oh, maybe it's going to be a failure and we should hold on to this house.
Well, I think it's more so because you haven't lived outside of California. And most of the people we encounter, quite frankly, are lifelong Californians. I mean, Jen and I lived in California for our childhood and adulthood until we moved to Tennessee. So it was one of those things where, we visited Tennessee. We spent a couple of days there. But, you know, is that enough to sustain living there? And so when we moved, it was kind of a, hey, it's not that we are worried about not coming back to California. It's more, hey, we're worried that Tennessee is not going to work out, that it's not going to be what we envisioned it being based upon a 3 or 4 day visit. And so for us, it was more like, hey, yeah, we want to be able to come back if Tennessee doesn't work out. Of course, having been here now for 12 years, we would have sold our house at the outset if we could go back in time. But we get that concern.
When you say you've been here for a 3 or 4 day visit, that's so true. But the other thing that might be concerning for people listening right now is they might be saying, well, it's easy for you to say. You've been there 12 years now. You've seen the prices go up. You've grabbed a lot of that equity. I think what we want to do is give courage to people, because they may feel like, oh, California is going to go up way more quickly, a lot more quickly than Tennessee.
Well, I mean, if your main thing is I want to get the most amount of appreciation and get the most equity in my house that I can, yeah, then stay in California. I mean, California housing prices are higher than Tennessee. So if you buy a million dollar house in California, that might be a $500,000 house in Tennessee, and it goes up 10%. Yes, you're going to make more money in California. But I really don't think that the reason you're looking at leaving California has anything to do with the amount of equity you might get in your house. I think it has to do with other quality of life issues.
Do you really believe that California will always continue to be the big equity producer in real estate? I just don't believe that.
Not always, but I mean, anybody who tells you they can time the real estate market, you need to run from them. I do think that the economic headwinds that California is facing are really going to start to come to a head in the next couple of years. And there's a number of reasons behind it, but you know, number one, California is currently facing anywhere from a $30 to $60 billion budget shortfall. And that's after coming off, you know, record revenues during the pandemic and a record influx of federal funds. So then California passed all these programs to spend that money. So, for example, I think the biggest one that's really going to put a burden on California's budget is the free health care for illegal immigrants. And while that's just now starting, can you envision any scenario under which California politicians revoke that law? There just isn't. So they're going to continue to have to fund health care for people that come across the border illegally. And that's never going away. And so they're gonna have to cut programs someplace else in order to be able to fund that. And then because of California's aggressive tax policy and the regulatory burdens, a lot of your high income earners have left California. Well, if you look at California tax revenue, it is heavily dependent upon high earners. So all the California politicians that run around talking about how much they hate the rich, they are heavily dependent on the rich for tax revenue. Well, they've now left the state. So not only do you have increased spending, but you've got decreased revenue. And it takes a couple, 3 years for those things to start to really pan out. And we're in year one of that, and they're already $30 to $60 billion in the hole. Next year is not going to be better.
And so you're saying that that will affect the equity in real estate if you were a betting man.
Sure, because I mean, as the economy turns south and California starts to look for revenue someplace else, guess what California politicians know? People are sitting on a lot of equity. And so they will attempt to pass laws that will tax that equity in some way. Either when you sell it, you have to pay a tax on your sale, or if you borrow money against your home, they're going to try and tax some of that, revenue. So they're coming after where the biggest piles of money are. And quite frankly, that's in California real estate.
And they're already doing that with the homeless. They're putting homeless, I mean, they're using homeowners to try and put a band-aid on some of those issues.
Well, and then you also have the issue too of Prop 13, which, a lot of you are under Prop 13 protection, which is great because, your property taxes are capped. But every single year, there's an assault on Prop 13. And it's not going to be too much longer before California's revenue discrepancy between what they bring in and what they spend eventually results in restructuring Prop 13. And so as property taxes go up, that affects the affordability of a home. And so you've got to factor that into it. And I could really see California moving into a Texas-style property tax issue, where the number one downside, I think, to moving to Texas is the property taxes.
Absolutely. And so many people don't see that. We've had friends get incredibly, had a very hard situation because of that. It's a hard thing. Their property taxes, and we've invested in Texas as well. It's property taxes are problematic.
It just here's what you need to know. California has to generate revenue. Who are they going to get it from? Well, they're not going to get it from the rich because they're either leaving the state or they've got enough money to hire accountants and attorneys to move money around so they don't have to pay it. So that's a pipe dream. Obviously, lower income people don't have any, money to tax.
Extra
And yeah,
resources.
so I mean, they're already living paycheck to paycheck. So there's not much there. So who are they coming after? They're coming after the middle class. And what's the biggest asset most middle class people have? Their house. And so don't be surprised if you start to see bills being introduced to try to reach in there and grab that somehow. California's got to do something.
Well, and so this may be our most encouraging podcast episode. So should you
Well, here's
say,
the encouragement. There are alternatives to California. One of
yeah.
the things that people get into the mindset of, I think Joanne can speak to this, is thinking that, well, California's just like every place else, because they're stuck in that, some people are stuck in the 50s, but that 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s attitude where California was the it state. It really was the leader in great ideas. And really, since the late 80s, California's been the leader in bad ideas. And you can see that starting to play out now. And some of these things take years to play out, and then they take years to fix. So even if you're like, we're in California to win it, I think you got a 10-year time frame at least before California starts to turn it around.
When you hear things like California is the best place ever, no place is like California, you have to ask yourself then, when people move to Idaho, Texas, Tennessee, Florida, why aren't they all moving back? Because if California were really the end all to be all, I'd be running back as fast as I could.
And here's a quick and easy test. Go to U-Haul and get a quote for renting a trailer one way from your hometown in California to Austin, Texas. And then get that same price for a one-way U-Haul rental from Austin, Texas back to your hometown. And you will see the huge price discrepancy there, which just indicates supply and demand.
Yeah. And so if you're worried that we are going to be that kind of real estate company that rants about California, I promise you we won't. We will rant equal to your rant.
Well, but you also, I mean, it's just the reality. It's not really a rant. It's just the reality of the situation. And again, if you equate it to the Titanic, California's hit an iceberg. It's taking on water. Now, you can sit on the deck of the Titanic and live in denial that these things aren't going to, happen, that California's going to somehow recover. But if it wasn't for the federal money during the pandemic, California would be really, really bad shape. And so it's really just a reality check.
But I mean, not to keep beating that drum, but before we get to our real topic, if the federal government saved them then, what makes you think they won't save them later?
Because the COVID pandemic money was nationwide. Any state could get that. And so it was one of those things where Congress said, hey, you know what? This COVID thing is affecting the American economy. So here's money that's available to every state. And Tennessee took some federal money, Florida did. No state was exempt from the COVID funds. That's one thing to say, this applies to everybody. It's going to be entirely another thing to say, hey, California, here's a boatload of money to bail you out of all these programs you implemented that the other 49 states, well, there's a couple others that have kind of followed California's lead, the other 40 states have not. And you're going to have a really hard time getting both senators from Montana or Florida to vote to give California a boatload of money because California has a spending problem.
See, and that's where I think more like a prepper than you. Okay, but this is about relocating and should you or should you not sell your California home? I have a feeling they already know what we're going to say. Will Rogers is quoted as saying, "Don't wait to buy real estate and wait." And I think we have that same mentality in California in holding on to our California real estate forever and thinking it was going to be amazing. Could you share with our listeners a few of the reasons why keeping your California home, moving to Tennessee, and maybe renting it out could be problematic?
Well, and I understand this. There is no right answer for everybody. So maybe it is a good idea for you to keep it. Maybe you're in a situation where you can't. If you're contemplating selling your California home or keeping it while you move to Tennessee and see if it's right for you, there are some pitfalls to be aware of. And number one, as soon as you move out of your California home to your Tennessee home, your California home ceases to be your primary residence. It's now an investment property. And so you now become a landlord in California. And I can go through all the myriad of laws and everything else in California. Here's what you basically need to understand. The California legislature views landlords as the most evil, wicked, greedy, horrible people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. And tenants are people that never do anything wrong and are the sweetest, nicest people who deserve every break they can get. So every law that is passed treats landlords the way that I've just described and treats tenants the way I've just described.
And just in case you're wondering, Paul's being really mild about this. This is the law he practiced in California and still has kind of a boutique real estate, excuse me, a boutique law practice in helping a lot of landlords evict tenants that know the law, quite frankly, better than you do.
Yeah. So here's some issues with it. So number one, like I mentioned, once you move out, it does turn it into an investment property.
Even with relatives? Even if your relatives are living there or not paying rent.
Yes. As far as California laws consider, as far as the IRS considers it, that is now a non-owner occupied property. So one, it falls under landlord-tenant laws of California. So anybody who lives there is considered a tenant, whether that's your brother, sister, kids, or if you rent it out as traditional rental to tenants that pay rent, you're subject to all landlord-tenant laws. So number one thing, if you're going to rent it out, of course you got to find a tenant, and that's where screening tenants comes into play. Now, common sense would tell you that, hey, I should be able to check out a tenant's background and credit and everything else, and determine whether or not they're going to be a good fit for, you know, my home. And when we're talking about some basic things like credit report, criminal history, things like that. One of the things you need to understand is most states have statewide landlord-tenant laws. So Tennessee has a landlord-tenant law that basically applies statewide. So you don't need to worry about what is Franklin doing, what is Chattanooga doing. California has about 20 different jurisdictions from Oakland down to Beverly Hills that have their own landlord-tenant laws on top of the statewide laws. So if you have a home, you need to make sure that you're aware of whatever your local regulations are. So, for example, in Oakland, it is absolutely forbidden to use anybody's criminal history as a reason to deny them rent. Now, you can look at their criminal history, and the only reason you can deny them rent based on criminal history is if it's a federally funded program like Section 8, or they're on the Megan's Law database as a registered sex offender. Otherwise, you can't tell somebody who's been convicted of a crime and done time that you are not going to rent to them.
So that includes somebody robs a liquor store and pistol whips the owner. I can't not rent to them.
Not in Oakland.
Wow.
And so again, then this is where it comes to, and now California has a statewide law that's very similar, in which you can consider criminal history, but it can't be the determining factor. And so these things are worded somewhat vaguely so that it's very, very easy for you to get in trouble with that, because then on top of that, if you are going to deny somebody, you have to provide them specific language and forms that advise them of this. And if you don't, you're subject to fines. And so it's very easy to run afoul of it, even if you're doing, the right thing and trying to communicate and everything else. It's so hyper technical, it's really easy to run afoul of it.
Real quick, screening tenants, potential tenants. What if they're illegal immigrants?
Yeah, you can't ask about their immigration status. You can't ask about their housing status. Basically, you can look at their credit report and their credit score. You can look at their income. You can set certain what they call generic criteria. So you can say, listen, in order to live here, you got to make 2.5 times the rent. What you can't look at is what their source of income is. So you can't say, well, gee, you're in seasonal work, and so your income fluctuates. One month you might make 5,000, the next month you might make zero. So you can't consider their source of income, but you can look and say, hey, here's some generic criteria. Your credit score has to be 650 or above, things like that.
So what if I have an illegal immigrant who applies and gives me cash and has a bank account and says, "Hey, I've got all this money in the bank." What if I get a feeling, "Hey, he's got Mexico plates on his car and I don't rent to him?"
Then you've run afoul of California's landlord-tenant laws, and you're subject to fine. And in that case, you're subject to potential jail time.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So if the gentleman or gal goes to somebody about me, I can get in trouble for this?
Yeah. Well, and some cities have a mandatory inspection reporting requirements. This is why it's important to know your city's requirements. Some require you to report to the city who you've rented to and under what circumstances, and you have to file a report with them. So that they
Wow.
can then follow up to see whether or not you've discriminated. So anyway, so screening tenants is problematic in terms of not necessarily screening them, but just making sure that you don't do something to get yourself in trouble. Because again, the rules are very technical.
Well, and to me, it's even more than we gave. I mean, clearly the examples I gave are extreme. I don't want somebody who, sells marijuana on the side. Maybe I don't want that kind of situation in my house.
Right, but we have to understand is we're not back to in the beginning. The California legislature views landlords as the most evil, greedy people that have ever lived on the face of the earth, and tenants as people who never do anything wrong. So the guy who did 7 years for armed robbery and pistol whipped the clerk and has done his time, well, he's served his debt to society. He's a good person now.
But he has the
And
same friends.
he but he's but he served his debt to society. So why should he not have a place to live? Remember, California is a big push right now, and it hasn't quite gotten there yet, but it will. Where housing becomes a constitutional right in California. And once you make something a right like that, then all of a sudden that starts to trump your right to private property ownership. And so it's going to happen. California is going to become a housing is a right state.
A third world country, basically. So screening tenants would be one of the reasons that you really should consider or reconsider selling your California home. Number two, the second one we have on our list here, Paul, that you can definitely go into detail on here is evictions. How are evictions problematic when you own an out-of-state property in California?
Your only option is to go to court to have them evicted. And that's a fairly,
Cost prohibitive.
no. And that's a very technical process. So, in other words, you have to do everything perfect as the landlord in order to prevail in landlord-tenant court. And it's not like regular civil court. There's a lot of ways for the plaintiff, the landlord in this case, to fix problems throughout the case. But with landlord-tenant, once you file the case, you're fixed in time. So let's say the tenant owes you $1,000 in rent, but on the 3-day notice you give to the tenant, you put $1,000 and one penny. Well, you lose your case because you overstated the amount of rent due, even though it's only one penny. It doesn't matter. And the tenant can walk into court and go, yeah, I don't have the money. I didn't pay the rent. The landlord's 100% right. You're going to lose that case because you didn't follow the technical rules of eviction. So evictions are problematic from the technical standpoint for the landlord. They're problematic from a cost standpoint. So most evictions will run you anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000, even more expensive if you're in one of the cities like Los Angeles or Beverly Hills that have very strict rules. And they take, typically 60 to 90 days, depending on where you're at. Right now, Sacramento County is running much longer than that because of shortages in court staffing. So all those things factor into owning a rental property, which we'll get to later when we talk about 1031 timing.
But before we talk about 1031 timing, Paul, will you share with us a little bit about one of the things you're seeing a lot of landlords having to do to evict their tenants?
Yeah, so one of the things California passed a couple of years ago, and this happened a little bit before the pandemic, so it got somewhat overshadowed by the pandemic, because then there were all kinds of new rules that came into place when the pandemic hit. But California passed a statewide rent control law a couple of years ago, and it limits the amount that you can charge per rent, but that doesn't keep up with the increase in owning the property. So you're limited to how much you can charge in rent, but the insurance companies aren't limited to what they can charge you for insurance. And maintenance costs, you can't factor that into it. So all of your costs may go up, but your rent doesn't go up to keep pace with it. The other part of that law that was passed was the just cause eviction part. So it used to be that if you wanted to sell your house, unless you had a tenant there that you love, they were great tenants, and they were on a month-to-month agreement, you could give them a 30 or a 60-day notice, and then they would have to move so that you could sell your house or do some other things with it. Well, that those days are long gone. You basically either need to have a reason to evict, like they're not paying their rent or they're damaging the property, things like that. If the tenant has not done anything wrong and they're on a month-to-month agreement, you can still give them a 60-day notice to move, but now you have to pay them 1 month's rent to do so. And either when you give them the 60-day notice, you've got to give them a check for 1 month's rent, or you can basically tell them they don't have to pay rent for the last month they're there, so they get to live for free in your place while they move out.
Wow.
And if they don't move out at the end of 60 days, you're still stuck having to do the eviction. Now, you have the right to recover that 1 month's rent in the eviction, but let's be honest, most landlords don't collect a dime from their judgments. So in essence, the tenant gets to live there for free and the landlord really gets nothing.
That is very discouraging.
Well, and it's just part of this law that, if you go back to the way I described how California views landlords and tenants, it makes perfect sense. So you get into if you decide you want to sell your house and you're going to try and take advantage of the capital gains exclusion, that says if you live in your house 2 of the last 5 years, you get to take 250 if you're single, 500,000 if you're married, tax free. And that's great, but that 2 year deadline is from the day you move out, you go ahead 2 years. That's a hard and fast deadline. So if you've got tenants in there and you're thinking, well, we'll ask them to move about 6 months before that 2 year deadline is up, and then we'll have time to put the house on the market and get it sold. But if your tenants kind of dig their heels in, they may stay there beyond that 2 year period. And once you miss that 2 year period, you lose that capital gains exclusion. So you really have to plan ahead with having tenants and having to move them out in order to sell the house. And I can't tell you how many calls I get from people who say, man, they were a great tenant, and then I asked them to move, and all of a sudden they stopped paying rent. They started complaining about this and that. They're refusing to leave. I had no idea I'd have this problem. And unfortunately, that's not really a defense to not following the landlord-tenant laws.
So, according to you, it's a very dire situation when you are in a dire situation.
It's a lot of risk.
It's a lot more risk than reward, is what I'm hearing. Let's talk about our last point, and that's 1031 timing and the boundaries within a 1031 exchange. And for a lot of people, they're just going to, for people who are selling their house and moving to Tennessee and just taking the bucket load of cash they have from their house earnings and putting it into a home, they don't even have to pay attention to this portion of our podcast. But for those people who basically are considering keeping their house in California, maybe they have a child that's finishing college and they're leaving before the child finishes and the child's using the home for a semester or two. Maybe they have decided to rent it out to family for a year while the family gets ready to move out to Tennessee. What is a 1031 exchange? Why don't you tell us that first off and then explain the details?
So if you miss that 2 year window that we were talking about earlier, where you can take either 250 or 500,000 tax free, and again, you want to work with your CPA on these issues and make sure that you qualify. There's all kinds of, exceptions to exceptions to exceptions to the rule. So work with your CPA on it. But as a general rule, you take 250 tax free, 500,000 tax free, depending on your marital status. But you have to do that within 2 years. You have to live in the house 2 of the last 5 years. So if you move out now, you've got to sell your house in the next 2 years to be able to take that exclusion. If you miss that 2 year window, there's still a way for you to take the sale proceeds of your house and not pay capital gains on it if you reinvest it into another investment property. That's called a 1031 exchange. Now, here's where we get into kind of the tenant requirements is that if you miss that 2 year window and so now you're going to do a 1031 exchange, you're still going to have to evict the tenant. So now you're owning this property longer. You still have to deal with that issue. If you do evict the tenants and you go into the 1031 exchange, then you're under some very strict timelines there. You've basically got 45 days to identify your property, 180 days to close on it, and those are hard and fast rules. And so if you miss those, then you lose the 1031, then you're paying the tax you're trying to avoid to begin with. So if you're considering selling your California home, you're probably better off doing it within that 2 year time window if you can. And if you're going to rent it out, you're going to have to deal with the landlord-tenant laws that are in effect.
So those are four very discouraging reasons why not to keep your property. Why not? Why to sell? I guess it kind of gives you a reason to sell.
Yeah, and one, part of it, people say, well, gee, you didn't sell your house when you moved out here. But remember, we moved out here in basically 2012, and the landlord-tenant laws were far different in California than they are now. And because it's what I do, I know how to navigate those technicalities. So you're in the position, if you're not a landlord-tenant attorney, you're in the position of either having to learn all this on your own and learn by trial and error, and not a great way to learn, or you're going to hire somebody to do it for you, and of course you're going to pay for that. So if I were doing it today, I would have sold our California house before we moved to Tennessee. I would not have kept it in the current environment that California's in.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think that's why I understand people who do, because I get it. It's real easy for us on this side of things. We know that. We're not trying to be flip about your selling the home. Maybe you've never known any other home. We get that. I definitely have empathy for the home that your children were raised in. I get that. I took pictures around the house. I found a little, goodness, like graffiti in the kids' bonus room where Megan and Grace had both put their initials. Oh, I took a picture of that. I remember our kids being very, well, I should say the girls being more sad than the boys, but it was hard. It's not easy to leave a home, especially, I don't want to be sexist about this, but I think for women, even more so than men. Because what do we joke about? The man, is what do we joke about? The woman's the heart of the home. And I think a home for a woman is a big thing. That's why for a woman to be on board to move to Tennessee, it is vital that she finds a house that she can make a home and make a nest for those babies and her family to grow up in. So with that said, we just gave you all the bad news. Now, if you are thinking of keeping your home, we do understand there are a couple reasons that definitely keep you in a place of considering holding on to that land, holding on to that property. And they're the same two reasons actually that we had when we moved to Tennessee and we rented out our home for a bit. And that would be the first benefit of keeping a California home would be positive cash flow. If you are renting out that house for more than what your mortgage and your taxes and all the things, you have positive cash flow. And we call that sleep at night money. I think there's a quote that says, landlords grow rich in their sleep. If you are used to that positive cash flow, or if you're an investor used to that positive cash flow, it's concerning, especially if you've had tenants for a long time and maybe they're great tenants and they're not going anywhere. And you're like, oh, okay, these tenants have been with me for 5 years. We have some clients that actually they bought their investment properties here first before buying their home. And one of their tenants they'd had for a very long time, love the guy. And guess what? When it came time to get him to move out, and they told us this person would never act like the way we said that he could possibly act in a worst case scenario. Sure enough, that's how he acted. And so, a positive cash flow, we understand that being a reason. What would you say about positive cash flow?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely an upside because it can help offset some of the costs of moving out here, and you do get some tax benefits from having a rental property that can decrease your taxable income, so therefore that increases your monthly income and can help offset some of the costs of relocating here. So Yeah, I mean, one of the benefits of keeping a California house, especially if you've gotten a mortgage, during the pandemic when rates are really low, that's probably going to cash flow fairly nicely.
And then the second reason that we considered keeping our home in California for the few years afterwards, like we did, was appreciation. I think for me, even more than you, Paul, I was under the impression that California is still the absolute best place for me to have my money and in a home, and that there was no place better in the world. And I have since changed my mind on that. Tennessee is a wonderful place to invest. Matter of fact, I was telling Paul this week, I read an article. It was about the gentleman, I think the one guy who predicted the housing bubble burst in 07, 08, that guy. And the three areas that he gave for investors today, the three states that were in his crosshairs were Texas, Tennessee, and Florida. And I mean this when I say we would love to have your business because we believe in this state. We really do. We have all of our investments out of Texas and California now, and we invest highly in Tennessee. But I completely understand if you guys are dragging your feet. I get that.
Obviously, California has shown great periods of appreciation, and if there's a market downturn, California has shown to be steeper in their decline than other states. So if you're holding on for appreciation, just keep in mind that's a double-edged sword that can work against you. So nobody knows what the real estate market's going to look like 2 years from now. Nobody knows what laws California is going to pass in the next couple of years, but I can tell you this. They're not going to be favorable to homeowners that are selling investment properties and taking that money out of state. I don't know what that legislation is going to look like, but I can tell you right now, there's legislatures sitting around there right now trying to figure out how they can get their hands on that money to be able to use for the little pet projects. And so appreciation can work great until it doesn't. So keep that in mind. I'm not sure I would necessarily hold on just for appreciation because remember, you're only going to have it for 2 years. How much appreciation are you going to get over the next 2 years? I mean, it may not be significant enough to offset putting that money to work someplace else.
So if you're looking at all the numbers and trying to consider whether or not a move here to Tennessee would be a good thing for you, or maybe you just need a little encouragement, reach out to us at info@maplewoodrealty.net. Email us. You can call us at 615-475-7300. And if you're in our neck of the woods, maybe you're out here for a visit. Maybe you're here for your first time. We'd love to meet you for coffee. We really mean that. And we are empty nesters now, grandparents, and we love what we do. We really do. And we're not trying to strong arm people to purchase real estate. While we love purchasing real estate for our clients, we really want you to be a success, and we want to hear one day that, oh, hey, we listened to that podcast, and that was encouraging. We really wish we'd gone with those cool people and used their real estate company.
Yeah, what you just said basically sums up this way. We're empty nesters. We have a lot of time on our hands and we need friends. Is that what you're saying? Oh, okay. All right. I just want to
No,
clarify.
I could always use more friends. I love friends,
Yes.
and we love people from California. So, anyway. We wish you guys nothing but the best, but if you do want some personal insight and maybe some legal perspective, reach out to us. We will be gentle, we promise. Real quick, Sweeney. Real quick.
Maybe they're there, maybe they're not. At any rate, no, no.
Yeah, it does. Think about all your rights. Think of your rights as an American citizen.
How does
That
my right?
your rights always your right comes as at the expense of somebody else. Your
No.
constitutional
How
rights.
does my right to my Fourth Amendment right to be secure in my house
Because
come at the expense
what
of
I'm
somebody else?
saying is it came at the expense of the Revolutionary War.
No.
It came at somebody else's expense.
No.
I'm gonna go with my way. I like that.
You need to, no, I mean
No,
seriously
cut that
though.
out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
All right.
that's not
I'll
accurate.
cut that out. But let's talk about the last thing that makes things a little bit problematic.
Well, if you miss that 2 year window I was talking about before, where you can take 250 if you're single, 500,000 if you're married.
Start over again, because you're
All righty, darling, barbecue's ready.